We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, they're back for another week of The Organic Gardeners on this Mother's Day. So if you want to join Doug Oster and Jessica Wallacher, please call 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. And you can text them on the right automotive line. Plus, the 10th caller right now wins a $25 gift certificate from Sorgles at 412-922-1020. And speaking of Sorgles, Jess will be there Thursday. More on that in a moment. But right now, Doug and Jess and this week's edition of Mother's Day and the Organic Gardeners. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Doug Oster from EverybodyGardens.com and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser. And happy Mother's Day, Jess. Well, thanks. And happy Mother's Day to all the mamas out there.
Yep, it's a special day. Take care of mom. I always do something on Thursdays on Pittsburgh Today Live, and the first thing I say with those plants is, like, if you're going to give mom a plant, plant it for her.
Yeah, right? It's a good, don't give her a tree and walk away.
They thought it was funny, too, that I, like, included fertilizer, and they're just like, yeah, the gift that keeps giving, fertilizer. I said, no, that's, like, if you give mom a hanging basket, give her this nice thing of fertilizer, and she'll be happy that you did.
Yep, and maybe stop over every day to water it.
Yeah. Every other day.
Have lunch while you're there.
Every other hour.
Spend some time with mom, you know.
Let's not get carried away. Once a year. Well, what an explosion of green, huh?
How about it? It feels so
like
good.
Overnight, like it just everything. And the dogwoods are blooming.
Yep.
You know, one thing real quick. If you have not been out to the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden near Settler's Cabin, their dogwood meadow is phenomenal. And it's in full bloom right now. I just love the dogwoods. Although I've got a pink one I'm going to have to start working on. I think I'm going to do it for a video here this week, start fertilizing it. Doesn't look good.
Oh, geez. Well, it is definitely blooming and crazy out there, but there's been a lot of news about things being late, so blooming later. And one of the biggest pieces of evidence of this happened in my backyard. For the first time ever, we had a Baltimore Oriole at the hummingbird feeder. And I've been seeing all over social media people in Western Pennsylvania that have had Baltimore Orioles trying to get the nectar out of their hummingbird feeders. And I read a news piece that said the reason that this is happening is because they normally will drink nectar from tulip trees this time of year, but the tulip trees blooming is several weeks behind. And so the Baltimore Orioles that are now here and ready to set up nesting don't have a source for nectar, so they're coming after our hummingbird feeders. So one of the things they suggested you do is if you have a feeder with those ant guards on it, is to pop the ant guards off temporarily so that the Baltimore Orioles can access that nectar until they set up shop with their nests, then they switch over to eating insects. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah. Speaking of ants, you'll see them all over your peonies right now, and don't worry about it.
Yep.
They're outside. That's where they're supposed to be, but They get the nectar from those little buds.
Yeah, a lot of people think that they help the peonies open, but they actually don't. What they're doing is there's a sticky extra floral nectary that's produced in some glands on the outside of that peony bud, and those ants are after that. And sometimes you'll see some syrphid flies and other beneficial insects feeding on that nectar as well, so it's a pretty cool thing to do. But I would love to come for you to come see me on Thursday. I'm going to be at Sorgles right off of the Wexford exit of 79, and I'm going to be giving a talk on savvy container gardening, and I would love to see you there. It is at 7 p.m. on Thursday. It's $5 to register for the class, but then you get that $5 back in the form of a $5 gift certificate that you can use in the garden center to purchase some really great plants. They would like you to call to pre-register so they know how many chairs to set up, and the number at Sorgles is 724-935-2090, and I hope to see you there.
Well, speaking of Sorgles, I'll be there next Sunday. It's the 16th annual Everybody Gardens Doug Oster Plant Swap and Giveaway, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Come right at 10 a.m. where the craziness starts. Be at Sorgles, bring perennials and other plants to trade, labeled, and please, nothing invasive. And as always, I'm giving away Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top Tomatoes. That's the one that the late Fred Limbaugh gave me back in 2000. I've been giving it away since then, and And I have a new one I'm giving away. It's called 3945. It was a tomato that was introduced to me by the late Dan Cummings. Dan just passed away about in March. And he helped name the variety that was found on the battlefield of World War II by Joe Roberts. Both tomatoes are great heirlooms. And all I ask is that you get those tomatoes, grow them out, send me a few seeds back. So next Sunday, 10 o'clock, Sorgles. It's the plant swap and giveaway. Hope to see you there.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and get to your calls. We'd love to hear from you. Congratulations to Jane from Scott Township, winner of that Sorgles gift certificate. Now back to gardening. We'd love to hear from you, the organic gardeners. It is Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser, 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, instant access, kdkradio.com. And you can text us on the Wright Automotive line. Once again, Doug and Jess, and let's say hi to Kay in the North Hills. Good morning, Kay. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Thank you. I have a problem with my black raspberries, and then I have another question. My leaves are turning orange. Do you know what that is?
Yes. You have a fungal disease called rust that does sometimes strike raspberries, especially black raspberries. And, it's not the kiss of death, which is the good news for you on this Mother's Day. Right. But I would suggest that you, it's really tough once this pathogen takes hold. You're better off doing a preventative, but I would still start using a biofungicide like Serenade, which is the brand name. It's called Serenade. And it's one that's actually very good to use because it's safe for edible crops like those raspberries. So you have to be really careful, obviously, what fungicides you choose to use on edibles. And that will help control its spread. It won't necessarily get rid of the rust that's already on there, but it will keep it from becoming worse. And you got to get the top and the undersides of all of the leaves.
Should I cut them out of there before it goes everywhere?
Yeah, you certainly could. If it's just on a few leaves at this time, you definitely want to cut it out and throw them away in a garbage bag or burn them. Don't throw them in the compost pile. And then make sure when you're done that you take some Lysol spray or a 10% bleach solution and sanitize the clippers and your gloves if you used those when you were trimming them off, because that can make it spread as well.
Okay, but it's not going to kill them?
No, huh?
And what was your second question?
Will they still produce?
They should, yes. Especially if you get it in check now.
Okay, I'll try to do that. And the other question, have you ever heard of Queen Palmer's Revenge?
No,
it's an invasive plant.
Queen Palmer's Revenge. What
does it look
like? I
thought that was a movie from the 30s with Humphrey Bogart.
There's another name for it. Actually, my son has it in Colorado. He doesn't know how to get rid of it.
What does it look like? I mean, is it flowering? Is it evergreen?
Right now it's green. And it's kind of...
And tell us the name again, Queen...
Queen Palmer's Revenge.
All right, we're going to do a little research and see if we can find something out about that. So keep listening, okay?
Let's say hi to Bill in Paris, PA. Bill, welcome to the Organic Gardeners. You're on KDK Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. My question is, two questions. Number one, on your tomato plants, when you do use Serenade, do you use it as a preventive or do you wait till you see a problem with your, as we know, the early blights and different things such as that?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, because with most fungicides, they are best used as a preventative. However, Doug and I always say, you know, don't spray something as a just in case. You always spray it only if you need it. And so what I usually do is kind of find a balance between those two. And if we are having a spring after you plant your tomatoes that is particularly wet, where we have a lot of rain, that is almost a perfect storm for fungal issues. And so if we have a season with a lot of rain, if you're hearing other gardeners talk about, you know, that the blight is striking their garden early, that is definitely a sign that you need to go ahead and start using it as a preventative. Would I recommend that you automatically do it with tomatoes no matter what? No. I would say you got to wait and watch the weather conditions.
And now I also have a 10 by 10 raised garden. How many tomato plants would you suggest you put in that? I've been trying about all combinations.
Have you had trouble with early blight and septoria leaf spot consistently for the last 3-4 seasons?
Not really.
Okay, good.
I have had it on some of my earth boxes that I have treated. But it the light affects them somewhat, but not. It doesn't wipe me out
right.
A long ways. But
you know, I have garden friends that like to put those tomatoes on 5 foot centers. You know, to keep them, and they have a really good soil, and they get really big tomatoes. And they're the reason they're putting them spaced out like that is they want them to have great air circulation. And when they're a jungle and close together. Often they'll get early blight or septoria leaf spot, those early fungal issues that we deal with. I want to talk about this just for a minute, where one of the things that I'm doing is I'm saving room in the garden and I'm planting later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm planting these first plantings, you know, but when it's weather like this for all week.
Right, right.
That's just, like I said, it's a perfect storm for fungal issues. But I'm waiting and I'm planting every week or so all the way to July 4th. As a way to beat these fungal issues. When you plant a really quick growing tomato like a Sun Gold or an Early Girl or a Red Racer, whatever it might be, in June and July, they don't get the fungal issue because they're not dealing with this cool weather and cool soil temperatures and all the rain.
And in addition to spacing them properly, you can also make sure that you choose shorter statured varieties. So ones that are varieties that we call determinate, which means they stay more compact and smaller. They don't get big and crazy and overgrown. And so that will also help you fit more tomato varieties in that 10 by 10 planter box.
What do you think about that succession planting like that? Do you want to get all your planting done on the first day? Do you want to just get it
with
done?
My tomatoes, I do plant them all at one time, and then what I do is I make sure my bed is mulched immediately after planting.
That's a good one.
Even before I water those plants in, I get mulch, because you don't want the fungal spores, which live in the soil, to splash up
onto
that
foliage. I like to take the bottom leaves off. You know,
you can do that. That will also help. So
there's
techniques that you can do, keeping the plants upright, keeping them well staked, keeping them well pruned, also will cut down on that fungal disease. And he mentioned his earth boxes, and I would like to stress this to all container gardeners. The blights, septoria leaf spot, can actually overwinter on the pots themselves. So I always recommend, either at the end of the gardening season or before you start the planting and filling them this year, is to scrub them out with a 10% bleach solution and use a toilet brush. Scrub the inside and outside of the pot, and that will kill any organisms that are on there, because they can easily reinfect a plant even just through contact with that container.
You saw some crazy tomatoes at May Market, huh?
I was so excited at May Market at Phipps, which was Friday and Saturday. There were so many great vendors there. It was just incredible. It was a little condensed because they're doing a lawn renovation there, so everybody was sort of crammed together. But boy, oh boy, Doug, I got a tomato that I seldom buy tomatoes without doing a little research first to find out, you know, about their flavor and their color and everything. But I saw the name of this one and I had to have it. It's called Dancing with Smurfs. And it's a little cherry tomato. The bottom of the cherry tomato is red and the top of the cherry tomato is that indigo purple, dark, dark ink purple. And I am so excited to try them.
That's just one of the fun things of gardening.
Yeah.
You know, especially for somebody like you who loves to research, but just to look at a name and say,
I have to have it.
know, that's like for me, was the, I forgot, the name went out of my head now, the mint julep one. I can't remember the first two names of it, but, you know, something, something mint julep. Those have sprouted. And good news in the greenhouse, the Yellow Torch, which I lost.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had one little pot I forgot about, a little 6-inch pot, so I had a couple of those. But I replanted Tithonia for us, so I got two flats of Tithonia that have sprouted. We'll see if we can keep them from rodents getting to them.
I'm crossing my fingers for them.
We're trying.
Dollar Bank Instant Access, 2 minutes before the break. Here is the question. What can I use to kill weeds in my lawn that's not harmful to my pets?
Well,
very important question.
Yeah, you know, we love burnout. But again, you got to use it selectively. You know, burnout's going to kill your grass too, so you just have to watch it. You know, we got lots of other organic weed killers. You know, we always stress any problem in the garden you can deal with without reaching for chemicals.
Absolutely, and the one that I like for lawn care are the products that are based on chelated iron. There are weed killers out there that have iron as their active ingredient, and the reason this works so well is because the iron is really easily absorbed by broad-leaved plants like the plantain and the dandelions and those other types of weeds that grow in your lawn, but it is actually, and it absorbs so much that it actually poisons them, it becomes toxic. But on the lawn, the grass actually really thrives and enjoys that iron. So there's a product called Iron X that works really well. There is
lawn weed killer from Whitney Farms.
Yep, Whitney Farms lawn weed killer that you can use. And so any of those iron-based fertilizers are organic. They're safe to use around your pets. Obviously, you want to skip any of those weed and feed products that have 2,4-D as the active ingredient because, man, they're really harsh chemicals. So, yep.
How harsh?
Very harsh.
Harsh. As harsh as seeing you dance with these Smurfs. I mean, you know what?
That was harsh. Speaking of harsh.
Dancing with the Smurfs.
I thought it was a great name for a tomato.
I think it's wonderful, too.
It is. It's all that garden magic that you guys bring every
week.
That's
right.
All right, listen.
What's the song?
Stay with us because we'll come back with the Smurfs, the Lollipop Kids, and, of course, Doug and Jess. So please give us a call, 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. Good morning. All right, big Mother's Day plan out of Janoski's in Clinton. They're getting ready to spend the entire day until about 7 o'clock tonight. So we're going to give somebody an opportunity to win a $25 gift certificate if they're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. And now back to Doug and Jess and more of the Organic Gardeners. Let's say hi to Pam in Highland Park. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning. I am calling because I have a bank that is filled with wild onions, and last year I tried to get a few of them out, and I dug deeply, and I thought I got them all out, and it's worse this year than it ever was. Can you help me?
I feel your pain. No, I can't help you.
Oh, please.
Love your wild onions.
I guess the positive of wild onions is that they shift into complete and total dormancy by mid to late June. And that's why you thought you got them all, because they do die back completely because they're a cool weather weed. But unfortunately, those little baubles that are underground continue to spread even when the tops are not active. So,
Jess, you'll disagree with me. I just say cut them down. You know, weed whack them down and don't mess with them. I know you like to dig them out, right?
Mm-hmm.
You,
yeah, I know. And digging them out is such a chore. I mean,
I tried to do it last year and look what happened.
I wish I could tell you that there was some little magic something you could sprinkle on there to get rid of them. There really isn't. And this is, you know, I'm not just speaking organically. I'm also speaking from chemical lawn treatments, which I would never, ever recommend that you do in the first place. But even those are not effective against the wild onions. Hand removal with a deep shovel. Either you have to get the surrounding soil as well out of there. But yeah, don't do it on Mother's Day. That just seems cruel and unusual on Mother's Day.
Awful.
But yeah, I wish I had a better reply for you, but unfortunately I don't.
All right, let's get to take care of some of these wonderful text messages that are coming in via the Wright Automotive text line, the best deal in town. Good organic fertilizer for kickstarting sweet basil.
Well, you know, that biotone from Espoma for starting things out is just a great one. But we use all that Espoma stuff, you know. Love Garden Tone, you know, Holly Tone, but Garden Tone would be fine. There's liquid ones. I love that liquid one from Espoma called Grow.
Mm-hmm.
They actually want to have one called Start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't want to use that one called Finish.
The only thing I would caution you with sweet basil is most of the varieties, in fact, all but one or two, are very prone to basil downy mildew, which is a fungal pathogen that only strikes basil. And having a lot of tender new growth come out of the plant all at once can increase your susceptibility to it. So follow the label instructions for that fertilizer and don't overapply. Don't put more in, is better. Don't do it twice as often. Follow the label instructions so that you don't get too much active growth too quickly.
When I think about basil, if it's in a container, that's all I'm giving him is a little bit of the grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to, you know, basil grow like crazy.
I have another one for you guys. It says, good morn. And shortly, of course, we're talking good morning here. My friend would like to know, can you transplant jewel weed into a raised bed to grow closer to the home? He wants to try to make his own salve and soap. What do you think? Thanks so much.
Well, if you wanted to, you could do it pretty easily. I mean, that jewel weed pulls out easy, and I love jewel weed, but I don't want, you know, I take probably half of it out. I leave some because I love it's a type of impatient, actually. If you look at the flower, that's really beautiful, and yeah, they say that it always grows next to poison ivy as
a cure for poison ivy.
Not a cure, but
yeah, relief from poison ivy.
But I guess you could
think they would transplant
to,
really easily. Yeah, or you could just collect a couple of the seed pods later in the season and sprinkle them around in the raised bed, and you will probably have more jewel weed than you could ever want.
I've already started pulling it out.
Here we go, folks. One more. What's the best way to get rid of Japanese knotweed?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's easy.
Okay, so I'd like to say to the onion lady, it could be worse. You could have Japanese knotweed instead of wild onions, which are way worse.
Only way I've ever been able to deal with it is continual top cutting. That's once a week for 2 years. That's the only way I've ever been able to deal with it. Do you have any better ideas?
Yeah, that's,
tarping? I don't know.
Yeah, well, and that is, there have been a bunch of studies done. Again, we're going back, you know, with the conventional and organic. And actually what they have found at University of California, Davis, the best method for getting rid of Japanese knotweed is a method called tarping, which is where you cut the sprouts all the way down to the ground. You cover the entire area with a very dark, very thick tarp, like one you would use to cover a boat. And you bury the edges several feet out from the perimeter of the patch of Japanese knotweed and bury that edge and keep that patch covered for, and you can put mulch on top of it if you want, but you keep that patch covered for a couple of years and it'll eventually starve the roots out. But that continual top kill is the second best, where you are, anytime you see a sprout, you literally remove it and you're cutting off photosynthesis to the roots and eventually starving them out.
Let's go to Sunny in Allison Park. Sunny, good morning. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning, guys. I have a dogwood tree. I'd say it's about 20 years old, about 15 foot tall. I'm looking at it out through my kitchen window. Parts of it are blooming, beautiful. Other parts, I don't know if it's dead or what. No blooms at all. Could it come back another year, or would you say those limbs have no leaves, no blooms? The tree is dead.
Well, not the tree itself, but I'm in the same situation as you are. We were talking about it earlier. I've got a pink dogwood where there's a bottom branch. There's nothing on it. There's no leaves. There's no flowers. If you go up and reach to the one of the small branches on that bigger branch and it just cracks off, that part's dead. You know, dead is dead. But that doesn't mean the whole tree is gone. It just means that it's struggling. Oftentimes, I find that with dogwoods, you can bring them back with some holly tone. They're shallow rooted, don't like to be out in the full sun, you know, very susceptible to, they can't stand drought. So usually, for a tree like that, I'm just adding holly tone. But there are some other problems that dogwoods have, especially our native dogwood.
Yeah, they can get anthracnose, which is a pretty terrible fungal disease that does oftentimes display as branch dieback like that. So actually, I would, you know, if you're very concerned about the tree and you want to make sure that you preserve it, I would suggest that you call the folks at Davy Tree and have one of their arborists come out. They come out and assess it for free, and they'll take a look at it. They'll be able to tell you if anthracnose is an issue and how to treat it. And that would really be provide a solid answer as to what's going on with the tree.
All right. Congratulations to Paul Cannesburg, winner of that Janoski's gift certificate. Hey, coming up Thursday, go out and see Jessica Wallister at Sorgles.
Yes, I will be there Thursday evening at 7 p.m. I'm going to be giving a talk on growing in containers and talking about some really great varieties of vegetables and flowers and fruits for container culture. Costs $5, but you get that $5 back in the form of a gift certificate to use at the garden center there. So you can give Sorgles a call to register, 724-935-2090.
And then come see me on next Sunday. It's the 16th annual Everybody Gardens Doug Oster Plant Swap. 10 a.m. at Sorgles Sunday. We are swapping perennials. Bring your stuff labeled, nothing invasive, and I'm giving away some great heirloom tomatoes from the Pittsburgh area, Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top Tomatoes. And 3945, which was found on the battlefield of World War II. We have a lot of fun. Just 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Come at 10 a.m. for the craziness, and you'll be back out easily from Sorgles at 11 a.m.
How long have you two been doing this show?
It'll be 13 years in June.
Jinx.
We always talk about Lower Borough, but there's no Upper Borough, is there? Really? I'm just curious. I mean, you're a journalist. You should know these things. There's Lower Borough, which we're going to talk to Rich in a moment, but I've never heard of Upper Borough.
Well, you know where Laurel Borough is, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, well, just look up.
Yeah. The sky is falling, Chicken Little. Let's go to Rich in Lower Borough. Rich, how are you? Good morning. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning, and there is an Upper Borough.
I told you.
See?
See? All right, what's going on?
My question is on, I have access to these trimming from the trees what the companies do along the roads,
ooh,
the wood. Mm-hmm. Not knowing if it's disease or not, is it a good idea to use it for mulch around my Thuellenberg grape tree or apple trees or my peach trees?
Yeah, this is a great question, and I'm really glad you asked it, because I actually recently had to do a bunch of research on this very topic for an article that I wrote for Fine Gardening Magazine about different mulches and where you can use them and how you can use them and all that stuff. And the current research says that there is a very, very minuscule chance of any disease moving from a chipped arborist mulch into a live living plant. It's just the chances of it are just so tiny. So that is not something that we have to worry about when using those mulches. However, with those fresh arborist chips, you do want to be careful about which type of plant material you want to apply it to. So it is not a good bet for shallow rooted plants like annuals or vegetables or perennials. You don't want to use that those arborist chips around those plants. Simply because they can steal a little bit of nitrogen from the very tippy top layer of the soil as they decompose, and that can cause a nitrogen deficiency in those shallow rooted plants. But they are perfect for around trees and shrubs, and they're great at holding in soil moisture, and eventually as they break down, they release nutrients. So for that purpose, they're excellent.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much.
Could also let them compost if you wanted.
Absolutely, yep. Put them in a pile somewhere and let them rot.
All right, listen, let's say hi to Pat and Butler. We've got about 4 minutes left in the broadcast before we take some commercials right to the top of the hour. So, Pat, good morning. Welcome to KDK Radio. How are you?
I have a question about a rose bush. I have an absolutely gorgeous rose bush that I have had for maybe 8 or 10 years. I never knew what it was, but very, very fragrant, very full, blooms a lot of the summer. This year, it is just looking mostly brown, and I don't know whether it actually is dead or whether any of the branches on it that seem like they don't have any life, should I cut them off and wait and see what happens?
Any green growth at all?
I don't see any at all, and I just never experienced this with this bush.
Yeah, it was a pretty tough winter, primarily because we had that little warm patch in the middle, which started for a lot of plants, started sort of a little initial steps of growth. And then we had a blast of cold weather after that, which then kicked those plants back. So I would not give up totally on that rose, but I would definitely prune it back to, if you do happen to see any live buds developing way down on the base of the plant, you can cut back down to those buds. Or if you're not even seeing anything, just cut it back to maybe 12 inches tall and maybe give it a little bit of rose tone and cross your fingers. But I would say if by early June you're not seeing any signs of life on there, that it's probably a goner, unfortunately.
And these things happen. I lost a lot of plants
this
year.
If I need to replace, do you have any suggestions? I want something fragrant, something pretty, a nice, it seemed to be a very sturdy bush,
yeah,
but I don't know what it was.
I love the Easy Elegance line of roses. It's a branded line. It's called Easy Elegance. They're at almost all the local garden centers. You can call and ask if they have. They have a whole bunch of them. They're really disease resistant, very easy to maintain. They have a lot of beautiful varieties. You want to look for one, obviously, that has some good fragrance, but that is a good low maintenance, easy to take care of rose.
And I love David Austin roses.
Also great.
A little harder,
yep,
to take care of, but I just look at David Austin's. Just look online and just take a look at them.
There are some disease resistant ones, though.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember that one that, because their senior rosarian comes on once a year and talks to us, Michael Marriott, and he told us there was a new one. It came out, which name I can't remember. It's white and it's disease resistant. I've got one called Gertrude Jekyll that I just love. It's pink and has that old-fashioned flavor, flower shape, and then also has that outstanding fragrance. Got to have fragrance if you're going to grow roses.
All right. Well, hopefully you'll find one that you love, and as much as the one that might not have made it, but, there's a lot of good choices out there. You just have to do your research and shop around a little
bit. There's a ton of different roses. It's confusing, I think, for people. There's so many different types of landscape roses, like your flower carpets
roses,
and knockouts, and shrub roses and climbers. I love love roses, though.
Yeah.
And I don't have the sun to grow them yet. Gertrude Jekyll does good. And then that one climber I have, that Zephyrine Droheen, thornless and doesn't need full sun. That thing, boy, it blooms like crazy.
Yeah.
And it's fragrant. And I was surprised with this winter. It came back like crazy.
Oh, good.
Well, but I lost two Japanese maples, two and a half.
Oh, no.
Yeah, two and a half Japanese maples. I was at Best Feeds, and they were telling me there that they had some serious problems with Japanese maples, and he had a good idea. He was like pruning them to make them more bonsai. Mm. I'm like, that's a good idea, because I lost my
central. So if they have a lot of dead branches, pruning them back.
I lost the central leader on a Japanese maple. It's about 3 years old. And then my favorite Japanese maple that I bought again 3 years ago is gone. Mm. It must be marginally hardy, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it was that one that in the winter, the bark is like orange and red, and it's just beautiful. There's one little stem left. What are you going to do if you have, you know, everything's gone except one little stem?
Yeah.
I hope that I'm going to have to replace it with something, and I don't know what. So that's part of gardening, though. You know, instead of looking back, we need to look forward. Look at some, I do have some new cool varieties I want to take a look at and see what to put in. But, what can you do?
That's the way it goes, right?
20 years ago, I would have been heartbroken. Now I'm just looking forward. Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden.
And a safer place to live. Happy Mother's Day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.